Hello and welcome to MedPod, the official CPD podcast for Maiden Early Trust staff by Maiden Early Trust staff. In each episode, we are joined by a member of Trust staff to share their area of expertise, interest or research in the hope that it will inspire our listeners to try out something new in their own practice. I'm Chloe Bateman, a history and religion and philosophy teacher at Maiden Early School. I'm delighted today to be joined by Mary Davis, the CEO of Maiden Early Trust, to share her reflections on the joys of school leadership. This is a very pertinent topic. Last month, we had Paul Gibson, the head teacher at Maiden Early School, to discuss the challenges of leadership and a range of strategies to manage these effectively and efficiently for a sustainable career in headship. So it's very exciting today that we're focusing on the more positive side of this career path. Mary, thank you so much for joining us today. I was wondering if we could start with you sharing a little bit about your own career journey and how you got into leadership and your sort of journey through that as well.
Yes, thank you, Chloe. So I have had, I worked in industry first of all. So out of university, I ended up working in the city, which I didn't stay there for very long. It wasn't a good fit. And then I went back to university to do an MA in international business and ended up working in France, setting up a business there with a colleague. And then all of that then led me back to education. My parents were both teachers, a lot of teachers in the family. I think that was always going to be the case. But I am very pleased that I did those other things, because I think that has given me a different perspective perhaps on leadership than if I'd solely worked in education. So when I started up in Staffordshire in a very rural school, brilliant school, had a farm on site. I'm a linguist, so my trade, if you like, is being a languages teacher. I then moved down to Leicestershire and became head of department. Then I moved a little bit further down to Peterborough to be an assistant head teacher. And then I came to Maiden Early in 2007 to be a deputy. And I was very fortunate as assistant head teacher that I did a mixture of pastoral and curricular. So I was head of Key Stage 3, I looked after SEND, I looked after safeguarding, but I also looked after a number of subjects, including languages, of course. And I think that also stood me in good stead in terms of leadership progression. So I think the fact that I worked outside of education beforehand meant that I could progress really quite quickly in terms of the number of years I've been in education, although age-wise probably on a par with my peers. But that experience early on at a broad range of things also has helped, because as a senior leader, then you have to turn your hand to all sorts of different things. And those, I was less fazed by them. And then I ended up here as deputy, then became a head teacher, then an executive teacher. Now here I am. Not by design, I have to say, but I'm very pleased that I'm here. So
you sort of travelled down the country, but up the ranks.
That's right.
Leadership.
It was a standing joke that at some point I'd end up in the sea, but that hasn't quite happened. But
so having had such a varied experience at so many different levels of leadership, what would you say are the joys of it?
There are lots of joys, and I was making some notes. I think the first thing for me is the variety. I get very bored very quickly. Yeah. And so I like a job that has variety. And within any portfolio as a senior leader, there are going to be bits of it that you really don't want to do. And there are bits of it that you love. And the key is to finding those, having the balance, if you like, there. And I was always very fortunate to have that mix. But I also did things that I didn't know anything about and learned to love them. So I didn't know anything about safeguarding, but I really enjoy doing the safeguarding and the pastoral side, for example. And I'm really glad that I did, but I wouldn't necessarily have chosen to do that from the outset. Other areas, things around IT, less enjoyed, if I'm honest. But it was a good experience. So, you know, that's the way it goes. So there's the variety, I think, is important. I know it's cheesy if you like, but I do like seeing the children and young people flourish. It is a real joy to see a child arrive at the age of 11 and you see them leave, you know, an adult at the age of 18, and you've seen everything in between. And I have to say, for the overwhelming majority of that time, It's an absolute pleasure to be in their company. And, you know, as teachers, sometimes we can get bogged down in the negatives. But I think, you know, you look around, I look around the schools in the Trust, and the joy of being around young people and talking to young people is overwhelmingly positive. Yeah. And that's a massive joy for me. And you have to learn to forgive. You know, we all make mistakes. We're all human, aren't we? And, you know, and children and young people are funny. They make you laugh. Sometimes not intentionally, but they do make you laugh. And actually, you meet a lot of children and young people, frankly, who are far more intelligent than you are and far more interesting than you are. And that's another reason why it's a great joy to spend time with them. Because I learn a lot and I like learning. So, and I also like spending time with colleagues, you know, teachers and people that work in education are good eggs. They're good people. They're good company. They're intelligent. They're interested in other people. They're kind. Who wouldn't want to spend time with those sorts of people, you know? And I think we forget that as well in the humdrum of it. I also think there are a lot of opportunities. I think if you are career minded in terms of moving up the ranks, if you like, I think there are opportunities to move up REM really quite quickly if that is what you want to do. But I also think it's genuinely a profession where you don't have to do that to be a success and to be well regarded. There are lots and lots of colleagues who I respect and value highly that are not in any form of leadership role, and yet their contribution to the profession is immense. And so you don't have to do that. And I think more and more we're seeing lots more flexibility in the workplace that allows particularly women, but not exclusively, people to work different hours, different days, a mixture of jobs, job sharing, and all of those things are really positive and allow you to find the joy, I think. And I think the other thing I would say is, you know, when you're in a school, you're in the heart of a community. And if you take those opportunities, you can get really stuck into the community. I've been invited to cultural events, religious events, events at the university, events at other schools, sporting events, theatre events. You get to go on trips. If you want to go to Costa Rica or wherever, you can go on all of that. You know, you would never have that opportunity, but they're all there if you choose to seize them.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of those things, I think, are really joyful. You don't have to do any of them, but if you want to do some of them, they're there.
Yeah, I think that's a really lovely kind of summary of the joys of it. And you've sort of touched on this already within that answer, but I think sometimes when people think of teaching, they just think, well, I'm in the classroom. But as you've shown, like, it doesn't have to be that. There are so many more opportunities. So do you have any advice to people in terms of how you can make the job your own and kind of carve out your own niche and your own way of kind of being as a teacher and as a leader?
Yes, I think I when I first went into the profession, I remember one of my first interviews, I said something along the lines of, I don't see myself as a French teacher. I see myself as an educator. And I happen to do that through the medium of teaching French.
Yeah.
And I think that's always been my philosophy. And I've taught in a lot of subjects. The heads of those subjects would perhaps not think that I did it very well, but I did give it my all. But I actually have enjoyed that as much. Because you get to see children and things in a different way. And I think my advice would be is, and particularly in secondary schools, is don't get stuck in your area.
Yeah, definitely.
Look outside, get involved with things that are outside. It might just be doing a club that is something of interest to you. So I know there are non-PE colleagues, for example, that run PE clubs because it's something that they're passionate about and interested in. Or it might be that you go on a trip. So you help out the drama department because they're going on a theatre trip, or you go on the fantastic ski trip that goes out for a year, for example. So I think you look outside yourselves. And I think it's also about finding people in your school who are like-minded. You know, if you do have a career plan and you want to move up the ranks, then find people who have that view, and they may not be in your department, but have that stimulus and that conversation around you, because otherwise you might find yourself being a little bit disillusioned because you've got people in your staff room who are doing a brilliant job, but they just don't want to have those conversations, you know? So I think get involved, look outside. In a trust, look to the other schools. you know, just go and knock on someone's doors. Come around for an hour and have a look, because you'll find a whole new world there. And it might be that you go, that's not for me. But it might be that you go, oh, actually, that's really quite interesting. I mean, I've learned so much, for example, from going to Great Hollands and looking at the primary world. And I think, you know, those sorts of things are really important. I think in terms of, particularly as well, when you become a senior leader, you know, look at the portfolio, talk to your head teacher and say, look, I'd really like to get involved in this side of the house. You know, next time, next year, could we look at that? And don't be afraid to take on things, something new. I think you have to learn to say no. Teachers are very bad at saying no. Very bad at saying no. So you shouldn't just say yes to everything. But sometimes it's really positive to say yes to something that takes you outside your comfort zone, because you might surprise yourself. So I think that's a good thing. And try and find something that you really, really enjoy about your work. So, for example, as a languages teacher, when I was at university, my passion was Molière. I'm a weird person like that, but I love Molière. So when A-level teaching came along and we had a set list, I was absolutely overjoyed that there was Molière in there. Everybody thought it was bonkers. Why on earth were you doing that? But that gave me joy.
Yeah.
And I spent ages preparing resources, but I didn't feel like work because I loved it. If you'd made me do resources on other things, I'd have done it and it would have been all right, but I wouldn't have enjoyed it. So I think it's things like that. And perhaps talking to colleagues, you know, if you're doing a scheme of work and you're preparing resources, it might be, I'll do that, it's not a problem, but I'm not so interested in that, would you do that? So I think it's those sorts of things, and you know, just carving out a little bit of time for yourself, and sometimes giving yourself permission. I think the other thing is giving your permission to do things sometimes well enough. The other thing about teachers is they are incredible perfectionists, and that is not helpful. It's not helpful. Good enough sometimes is frankly good enough. And that's okay.
Well, I think that's really like inspiring advice about how actually there is so much flexibility if you are willing to look for it, and sometimes make your own opportunities as well, which is, I think, you know, personally one of the joys that I found as well. As a female leader, would you say that there are any specific joys to female leadership?
Yes, and I think I will prefix this by saying, you know, it's not always been easy as a female, as a woman leader, and there are still encounters that you have which you think, my goodness, I thought those days had gone, and I've been in the game for quite a long time, so I've seen a lot of change, and I have to say it's significantly better than it was. And also, I'm going to say this as well, sometimes women are not the best allies of other women, I would suggest. So I think there's still work to be done on that, but I would say it's significantly better. I think as a single woman and a woman with no children in the education profession, that's always raised a few eyebrows, because I think you're expected to be a mother if you work in schools. I actually think in some ways it's an advantage, because you've not got that emotional draw that perhaps others have. I think it swings and roundabouts. I tend to look at people and children, young people, as individuals. But I still get some people that raise an eyebrow when I turn up and say, you know, well, I'm the CEO. But I think that's quite fun.
Yeah.
You know, in the same way that when I worked in London, I would rock up with my male colleagues and they would assume that I was the secretary.
Yeah.
Some people get very offended by that, but I just think, well, oh my goodness, we're still here. But I think that because it's better, I think there are more women coming through, not enough, but there are more women. I think there's a sisterhood, which is healthy, but I also think it's not us, you know, it's not an us against them. I think there is a genuine mix. I think there is a really healthy move away from the celebrity head teacher, the super head teacher, which stereotypically tended to be male, not exclusively. But I think that understanding of leadership nowadays as being you're not front and centre. What you're doing, you lead from amongst and within, not from necessarily at the top in that sense, in that hierarchical sense, although you do you are the one, the buck stops with you. You have to make the decisions. Not everybody likes those, but they're yours. And that's, you know, that's why you pay the big bucks. So that's what you do. But I think it is much more collaborative. And I think that that is helpful. I think the diversity in general is helpful as well, because, you know, you look around a staff room and you do see a greater mix. There can be more, clearly, but I think you do see a greater mix. And I think it's, I think the whole of education is getting less competitive. You know, when I first started, you constantly were looking at the school down the road, you know, how are we going to get more kids? Are we going to get a better Ofsted grade? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do the other? Whereas I think now people are genuinely happy to be more vulnerable and pick up the phone and go, I don't know how to do this. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't want to stereotype male leadership and female leadership, but I think women in general are more prepared to make themselves a little bit more vulnerable. You know, when I first started, I was told, you know, never apologize, you know, all of that rubbish. I don't hold with that. You know, if you mess up, you say sorry. If you've got a problem, you ask for help, end of.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, thank you very much, Mary. That's been a really inspiring, really interesting kind of journey through your own leadership story, but with so many wider implications and wider kind of messages, I think, for everyone who is aspiring to a leadership position or is already in a leadership position. So thank you so much for that. I'm going to hand over to you now if you've got any last kind of messages for people.
So I would just say, if you are interested in leadership, whether you're male or female or whatever, then find out about it and go into it with a view of, you know, I can make this work for me, and I've got a lot to offer, and actually the school or the organisation would be a better place if I were in that leadership position. Start early by reaching out and doing little things that you enjoy. Learn to say no to protect yourself, but learn to say yes as well to the right projects. And I would say, you know, make sure that, particularly for female leaders, is make sure that you are that modelling for young girls coming through, so that they know that they can lead, and they can lead really, really well, and be that role model for them.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mary. That's all right. I hope that you will join us next month for our final episode of this academic year, which is going to be from Caroline Braille, talking all about the oracy strategies that she has implemented within her classroom this year.